The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drives Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of The Drive underway. Tyler Pewitt is in with the top four at four.
Tyler Pewitt.
I'm just rolling with it. It sounded right. It sounded better coming off my... Yeah.
Double
I'm
P.
I'm kidding, Parker. Go ahead. Please don't kill me.
Okay. Well. All right. So first up, the Houston Rockets have acquired Russell Westbrook via a trade, sending two first-round picks and two pick swaps to Oklahoma City. And the Rockets also signed Tyson Chandler yesterday.
All right.
I've seen some people panning this move, saying the Rockets panicked. You know, they had a really good team last year and just collapsed. Probably would have had a great team the year before if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt in the conference finals there against the Warriors. I don't know, man. I think Chris Paul is great. He's a little bit older. Russell Westbrook's a better player, right?
Yeah, I'd take Russell Westbrook over CP3.
Here's the question, man. If the Durant Westbrook Harden triumvirate had stayed together in OKC all these years, would they have won a championship?
Yes. I think they would have. But now what's going to happen is CP3 might – what if he goes to the Lakers? Then the Lakers have LeBron, Davis, CP3. Hello.
The Thunder wouldn't keep him?
Yeah. There's talks of letting him go or a trade.
I mean, I think this gets the Rockets back in the equation now, especially with the Warriors look like they're going to take a step back. I mean, they're kind of the team to beat, aren't they?
Billy Donovan's like, what in God's name has happened to my locker room? Go for one vacation, I come back, and everybody's gone.
You think Billy Donovan ever coaches college ball again?
Yes. And Coach K resigns.
Who even plays for Oklahoma City now?
Serge Ibaka?
No. He doesn't.
That's what I'm saying. I can't name anybody.
Toronto.
Yeah.
Or Toronto,
can't name anybody.
Right.
Pat Adams?
Steven Adams.
Steven Adams?
Pat Adams, too, yeah.
Referee.
Number two, Roger Federer defeats Rafa Nadal in four sets to advance to the Wimbledon final against Novak Djokovic on Sunday.
37 years old and still doing it at a high level. The greatest of all time so far.
Still conquer
Roger
dreams.
Federer. I like how today I was watching some of that in the fourth set, like Nadal's hair is coming apart like Bigger and McCracken and Kingpin back in the day. There's Roger Federer, 37 years old. He's starting to show his age, like he looks like a 37-year-old man now. But just like throughout his entire career, he's out there working in the hot English sun. Like he's not even sweating. Like not a hair's not even out of place. Just looks so calm.
He doesn't grunt at all.
He's a machine.
He doesn't grunt.
It's impressive.
No. Number three, Grayson Allen was ejected last night after committing two flagrant fouls in 9 seconds on
Punk.
Grant Williams.
Punk. Grayson.
Honestly,
Allen.
Did you see the play earlier in the game that Grant had?
Yeah.
Where he just like charged up?
Yeah, I saw that.
Decked someone down? Yeah. Was that on Grayson?
I don't think it was on Grayson.
He ran somebody over?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a little dirty.
Really?
A little dirty.
The guy didn't get out of the way.
Well, our opponents out there say Grant Williams has a reputation, whether we as Tennessee fans want to admit it or not. He has a reputation as a flopper. Big time
hell
flopper.
Hell, he does. He's no
he
flopper.
Does.
He
does.
He doesn't flop.
I'm just the messenger.
Take it back.
I will not. That's his reputation.
My Kentucky fans and Vanderbilt fans and Auburn fans.
Number four. Florida quarterback Felipe Franks has signed with the Boston Red Sox for $40,000 after being drafted by them.
Thank God.
In the 31st round.
Yes.
But he will finish his career at Florida.
Dang it.
Before making any decision on his future. But looks like he will be going to the Red Sox this after college.
Russell looks so confused right now.
Is he a pitcher?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Does he play for Florida for their baseball team?
No.
He doesn't? Okay.
No.
So he's not like Jameis, two-sport athlete.
No.
All right.
He was really good in high school.
I mean, we know he's got a strong arm. We know that. The flopping thing, I mean, that is Grant Williams' reputation. I mean, it just is. But, and it might even be earned. I don't think, I've never thought.
I don't think it was really earned.
He knew how to take a charge the fundamental way.
Well, he also knew how to draw a charge, which I think is part of the game, is drawing charges that aren't necessarily charges. I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't think it's that shady. I mean, it might be. I guess I could see where you could say it's dishonest or I don't think it's unsportsmanlike, man.
Yeah, but the guy's just not drawing charge. He's also putting 28 points on you a night. So it's not like you're just out there as a defender trying to draw a foul. He's also dominating you in the post and putting up 28 points a night and dominating the boards.
Coaches teach that. Move your feet, set your feet, fall down, draw a charge. And then think of the great charge. Think of the quote-unquote flop artists that we know, Vlade Divac, Dennis Rodman, like guys who are known floppers. You don't look at them as like these dark art magicians or something like that. It's just they're heady basketball players, man. They're smart.
Floppers.
So you think it's a bad thing?
No. Not in the context of the game, it's not.
I think he's playing technical basketball. I think he's smart.
Thank you, Parker. Top four today brought to you by our friends at Citizens National Bank, where it's Financial Freedom Friday. You're going to learn more about the world of online banking. Is it secure? Well, we've got a blog post at cnbtn.com today. You can find it on our Twitter feed at Fox Sports Knox if you want to read more about online banking security. Just one of the many services you get at Citizens National Bank, online at cnbtn.com. You can call them for details at 865-453-9031. That's 453-9031 for more from Citizens National Bank. Our phone number, if you want to jump in, 865-546-8200. 546-8200 is your number to get on the show here this afternoon. We have a couple of different polls in the field right now. First of all, in honor of Grayson Allen punking out against Grant Williams in NBA Summer League action last night, who has the most punchable face in sports? We've had a good dozen, 15 or so nominees today.
I
want to see if we can narrow it down to maybe a Mount Rushmore or so at some point today.
I feel like we've overlooked Kentucky. Rex Chapman.
Yeah. Jamel Martinez back in the day. Who was Jeff Shepard?
Those guys that seem like they played there for 8 years.
Yeah. Saul Smith.
Yeah, I never really had a thing for Saul.
Oh, come on.
I just thought he looked
like
he was proof that aliens existed. I thought he was from, like, Venus.
I'd go knock Kentucky and put in Christian Laettner.
Yeah, he's a dookie. I hate them all.
Oh, man.
Where's some other good Kentucky ones?
Oh, man.
Current one. That
I said Tyler Harrow was one of the first ones I brought up.
Loud mouth.
Brad Calipari?
Oh,
yeah. When it dresses up with the gold chains.
Did you see where he – I'm not sure where he landed, but he transferred.
Division II school.
He released his list of schools that he was looking at, and one of the schools was Howard.
Howard?
Howard.
You mean Howard University in Atlanta?
So what's he going to get, a minority scholarship?
It's a historically black college, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't think that they exclude.
Would you get? I don't know how to go with this question. Could you? If Brad Calipari went to Howard, could he get a minority scholarship?
I don't know.
I don't think so. He's not a minority. Just because he is at school. Mike from South Knoxville says Jim Masters of Kentucky played in the 70s.
I'm not familiar with his work.
Looked like a frat rat I wanted to beat.
Sean with a vote for John Gruden.
Yeah.
Really? Gruden has a punchable face? Yeah. He loves Tennessee.
I don't care. I love Tennessee. No, he doesn't.
I got a lot of orange blood in my
body. You heard him say it.
Yeah, he says a lot of
he
stuff.
He married Cookie. Mark Davis, the Raiders guy, and his little bowl cut.
I'd like to hang out with him.
What about Joey?
What?
Really?
Yeah, just figure out what he's all about.
what he's all about. I'm guessing there's not a lot there. That doesn't look like a fun guy to hang out with. You'd be hanging out with schedule a day to hang out with Mark Davis. I guarantee you 10 minutes into that day, you're going to be wanting to kill yourself.
No, I'd take Cody Brandon a chance with me.
Bear, would you pop Joey Logano?
No. See, this is a deal with Logano. Joey Logano is like a really good guy.
Yeah, he really is.
I was watching TV on Sunday, and it was during one of the rain delays, and showed all the good work he does with him and his wife's foundation, and the mentally challenged children, and through his generosity, their lives are better. So it's kind of hard to hope the guy hits the wall at 200 miles an hour, Trey.
Lucky Nate on Twitter says Brad Calipari would be eligible for a minority scholarship. He said an HBCU recruited him for soccer, and he was able to get a full ride split between athletics and a minority scholarship.
Thank you.
Wow.
About that.
That's surprising.
All right.
Hey, while we're in the racing, Brad Keselowski.
Oh, Lordy.
He looks like a carp. I'd like to slap him across the face.
Think he Brad Keselowski, that's tough.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No.
Yes.
Come on. I think it's down to Kyle Busch.
No.
Both of the Bush brothers.
Kyle Busch has totally outgrown his punchable face to where I'm a fan of his.
No, once a punchable face, always a punchable face. You don't just lose that, Bear.
Tony Stewart? No.
Nah.
Tony roughed me up back. I don't.
Known tough guy.
I mean, Jeff Gordon, people would have loved to back in the day.
Yeah.
I think now he's just a pimp.
Getting a vote for BK Vols says Moose Knuckle Mullen.
Yeah, I thought about that one earlier.
Like I said, man, all Florida coaches, that is a requirement to coach football or men's basketball Florida's. You must have a punchable face.
Go Gator.
Jimbo Fisher.
Wow. I cannot believe BK Vols has sent us several suggestions here. Mike White. And I can't believe we've made it this far. I cannot believe you have made it this far, Bear, without mentioning a certain somebody.
Alan Jones.
It's critical.
I disqualified him right off the top.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't just be punching.
Be kind.
Jail would go to, go to jail for 10 to 15.
Be kind.
I'd like to get a piece of him. Ooh, Derek Dooley.
I think Derek was a cool guy.
I don't think he has a punchable face.
Yeah, he does. He's got one of the most punchable faces.
Yeah, you're probably right.
King of the cake-eating rich boys.
Derek was kind of an in over his head, but overall might be a cool guy to hang out with, have a drink.
Absolutely. Hell no. He's a country club kid.
Got some good war stories.
What? From watching Daddy?
He seems like the thing I'll say about Dooley, that he was unique among college football coaches is because he wasn't like Pruitt and Butch Jones, where they're just a one-track mind and no outside interest. Like, right. He was obviously well-read and knew about things other than football. He's a lawyer and is book smart and all that stuff. And, like, while that does not lend itself well to being a good football coach, and I think is one of the major reasons he was a failure here, he could talk about other stuff. Like, if Jeremy Pruitt walked in here, first of all, he'd be itching to get out and go call a recruit or something.
Yeah.
But if you had to like spend time with him, I'm guessing like there's not a lot going on out there. Like unless you want to talk football.
I feel like there's probably not, honest to God, me and McClure are probably the only two people that could hold a conversation with him.
Why?
I don't know. But Dooley seems to me to be like the kind of guy, though, you sit down and start talking to him about anything, and he's just going to be talking to you.
And six hours later,
you're you wouldn't be able to get a word in edgewise, and he's argue with everything you say, guy. You know,
but a fun got to
show you how smart he is.
It'd be fun until we went out to dinner, and he told me I couldn't substitute something on something I ordered, and I.
Who's this guy, Trey? That is a punchable
Pat
face.
Pat
40. Yes.
Yeah, he's on
the list.
He's in the top
40's
five.
On the list.
How about Dan Wolkin.
What's he into now?
I think that's
Oh, yeah. Vanderbilt grad, Dan Wolkin.
Doug Gottlieb?
Absolutely. Mm. The thief. Things must look pretty good from his ivory tower.
Who's this one? Is that Harms? Is that Matt Harms from Purdue this past year?
Yeah.
These people are just sending us pictures of the face.
Joel Klatt?
Surprised we ain't got Ryan Klein's face yet from Purdue, just draining threes all over Tennessee.
Jake Bentley from South Carolina.
Well, that's good. Yeah. What about John Parker Wilson?
Oh, man. Oh.
2-a-days on
Hoover. McCarron.
McCarron blocked me.
Greg from my hotel. Freaking McElroy.
Oh, hold on catch. Now. Hold on now.
These five fingers. Right in the face.
Daniel Cannell.
See, just when I thought we were like reaching the bottom of the punchable face list, like we've hit a second gear. Like, oh, we didn't even think about going into the media realm.
Joel Klatt.
What about Gary Danielson? Is that face punchable?
No.
No, love Gary.
But Uncle Vern.
No, God, no. I'd not protect like him from getting punched. Ah! Jesse Palmer?
Oh. Big time.
How did he
face.
Go from sports to doing stuff for the Daily Mail?
But you could also take – here's the other thing. Is you could take the Florida quarterbacks, too, and put them in a separate realm. Well, Tebow's got a punchable face. Danny Werfel has a punchable face. But there's no doubt about it. Between Shane Matthews and Doug Johnson
– they're virtually the same face. Yes. Number one.
Is there some punchable face machine down there in Florida where they're just cranking out these faces and giving them quarterback scholarships down there?
I'll tell you another.
You're right. Doug Johnson and Shane Matthews are the same guy.
Yeah. But Tim Tebow, I'd like to smash a cricket bat across his face.
Oh, man.
Can't stand him.
Great guy. Super punchable face. All right.
It's time.
It's time. We got to take a quick break. When we continue, we're going to run down the former head coach at Independence Community College in Kansas and star of last season and the upcoming season of the hit Netflix reality show Last Chance U. Jason Brown will be joining us next right here on The Drive. Stay with us. It's Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Big summer on Netflix, man. You got the new Last Chance U coming out. I see Stranger Things 3 is getting rave reviews.
Have you ever watched it?
I watched the first season. I've not
watched it.
You watched the first season at all?
I haven't seen it. Is it about scary stuff?
No, I mean, it's kind of a monster thing, but the hook is it's like an 80s nostalgia thing. So I don't know if you... you're a few years younger than me. I don't know if you consider yourself like an 80s kid or something, but like the music
really.
And like there are lots of cultural references that people my generation, Bear's generation, is like, oh, like it's a weird thing like that. But the third season is getting rave reviews, so I might have to go watch the second season
I'm interested
I can get to the third one. 865-546-8200 is your number.
I figured out. I think I'd be like the age of those kids riding around on their bikes and that.
Did you watch the second? You watched the first season.
Me and Junior watched the first season.
You watched that with your kid?
Yeah.
I guess it's not rated R, but I mean, it was pretty scary. Like, that monster was pretty, like.
Yeah, it's me. He's having to console, you know, to I get scared. He doesn't. That monster thing.
What did they call it? The Gorgamemnon or something?
I can't remember. And then what's the kid's name? The
11.
11. So that's it was good. It was freaked me out as it's based. They're saying it's Oak Ridge now, right?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because they mentioned Roan County.
Really?
In Hawkins County.
In the news, like they moved?
In this season. I think it was, I saw it online. It was like somebody noticed it. And there's like, I think it's Hawkins. They definitely mentioned Hawkins County in the show. And
Where was the first season set? I thought it was like in Ohio or something.
I don't think in the Midwest. So. I don't think they ever really.
It was like the Simpsons at Springfield. We don't know where he is.
What?
In Stranger Things, they reference, like, I've seen this whole thing.
Lots of new Coke.
I'll look it up.
Lots of new Coke advertisement in that show.
Have you found any of the new Coke yet?
I can't find one.
That stuff tasted like battery acid.
Did it? I never, okay.
Oh, it was god-awful. Like, we talked my mom's into, like, we went and We went and like stockpiled a bunch of the real thing before it was all gone.
They took off the real stuff?
When they brought new Coke, they stopped making old Coke.
Really?
And then the backlash was so bad and their sales went in the tank.
Fire the recipe.
They brought it back, and that's when Coca-Cola Classic was created. They added the classic part to it, I guess, to try and somehow save a little bit of face on it, but that stuff was the nastiest tasting stuff you can imagine.
You think now with the new Coke released again, it's probably just regular Coke, and they're saying it's new Coke?
Nah, I can tell you. If I taste it again, I'll tell you if it's the same.
Yeah, because
thing.
They haven't made the same mistake with what you guys are talking about, where they stopped making the regular Coke. Like, if you don't have any interest in this at all, you can still go get Coke. I mean, like, you know.
It's like having Coke Zero.
How idiotic is that as a business? Like, Coke is rolling around. It's one of the most recognizable, iconic brands in the history of the world.
Coca-Cola and the Rolling Stones tongue.
We're just going to stop making this and do something completely different.
We're out.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's the most recognizable brand in the world.
You remember Clear Pepsi?
Oh,
that was a thing for a minute in the
90s. Do it.
Clear Pepsi.
Things got weird in the 90s in the soft drink world, didn't you? Remember that?
Yeah.
You had Surge up there for a while.
Late 80s. Yeah,
Surge
was stuff
huge
called?
At my high school in the late 90s.
What was that stuff called? It had twice the sugar and like eight times the caffeine.
Jolt. Jolt Cola.
We used to mix that with Wild Turkey.
Did y'all ever take Stackers?
No. Wasn't in a truck stop speed.
Is that what it was? Is that the stuff besides
the truck stop?
Yeah.
I didn't know it at first. Speed. I'd be going to high school like freshman year. I'm driving and I'd stop at the gas station.
How the hell are you driving freshman year?
What the hell are you talking about?
Are you like, do you have a hardship license?
Did you get held back a couple of years? Are you a 16-year-old freshman?
End of first year. Yeah, so it had been end of the first year. I don't know. Maybe it was, I don't know. But yeah, we'd get a stacker. And I thought they were just for, you know, to give you a little caffeine.
No, they were Yellow Jackets, buddy. That was speed.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was like be sitting in class sweating, and I'm like, man, this feels weird.
Multiple people reporting that Stranger Things is set in Indiana.
Okay, well, I'll
the Hoosier State.
I will Google that real quick.
You'll Google it? All right. Yeah. You can just Google it, too, while you're at it.
Heads up, too. We'll be having Coach on here in about 3 minutes.
Try to hook up with Jason Brown, Last Chance U star. New season debuts a week from today on Netflix, and he's tied up, I guess, doing coach stuff. So hopefully we get him on here in just a few minutes. In the meantime, if you want to jump in, take a shot, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the air with us here this afternoon on the show. Of course, big sports weekend coming up. No, I'm just kidding. There's really not much going on. We got what? A little baseball, Wimbledon final, and that is pretty much it.
I got NASCAR.
Where are they racing this weekend?
Kentucky.
Have they always raced there, or did they?
It's only the last 3 or 4 years. Four, something like that.
Did I see where somebody will be driving a special Jared Lorenzen-themed car?
It wouldn't surprise me if some sponsor came aboard at the last minute. And yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. But the Xfinity race is tonight. Cup race tomorrow night from Kentucky Speedway. It's going to be a fun race. Last night, everybody just wrecked.
The worst, I think that's where Jeff Gordon had his worst wreck, according to him.
Wouldn't surprise me. Last night, literally the whole truck field almost tore their cars
off. I saw some video. Was that from the truck race where some female driver
Natalie Decker took dude's hat off and threw it on the ground?
Flung it.
Yeah, thought that was pretty funny. You can't really do much in that.
Earnhardt's
got
to sit there and let her do it. A female driver
comes up
on you. Did you
see that
video? How many female racers are there? Is this a big thing now?
I would say there's one, two, three. There's three prominent. Right, there's Natalie Deegan, Natalie Decker, Haley Deegan, Natalie Decker.
Earnhardt Jr.'s niece.
Yeah.
Do you see that video? She runs those World of Outlaws sprint cars.
Yeah, she flew.
Flipped and left the track.
Oh!
She was coming around turn three, and she literally just shot off.
Looked like old school NASCAR. Yeah, I mean, she just disappears.
Like, was the General Lee playing the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da as it flew through the air?
She was kind of corkscrewing-ish. Yeah, it was kind of scary.
Oh, my God.
She turned on.
What's her name? Elledge. It's Kelly, his sister Kelly's daughter.
She walked away, so that's good. Efforting Coach Brown now, which should be a Should I call him Coach? Jason? Probably Jason. Yeah.
No, you call him Coach. That's what you call him.
I mean, you could call him anything.
It's interesting. You know what I mean?
You call Coach or Jason.
You know, like media days coming up. You know what I mean? I'm talking to coaches, stuff like that. I'm wondering if, you know, like, hey, Dan. Hey, Jeremy.
No, man, you call him Coach. That drives
coaches,
me crazy.
Coaches like to be called Coach.
All people around here, like people call Coach, Jeremy said this. Jeremy said it. They call Barnes. He's not, you don't know him.
Phillip.
He's not your friend.
Well,
he's Coach Barnes or Barnes.
With Nick Saban, it was, hey, Coach Saban, can you talk about this, and that? Yeah, I wouldn't mess around
with that.
That's
the way
it
should always be.
Yeah. No,
it's not like showing.
I saw that conversation happen a couple months ago.
It's not being deferential to anybody. It's just. These reporters try and act like they're best buddies with these coaches. People used to always call Fulmer Phillip around here.
Yeah,
like he's your golfing buddy or something. It's Fulmer.
He'll be joining us in 3 minutes, he said.
It's,
3 minutes?
Like, that's awful. Coach Fulmer, he's Coach. I'm telling you, I know most of my buddies are coaches.
The only
been around coaches all my life. They like to be called Coach.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the whole reason of becoming a coach is so that you can be called Coach. Like the only there are a few notable exceptions. I think Bruce Pearl could just be called Bruce.
Calipari.
He could be called Cal.
Bruce Pearl's Coach Pearl.
I think you could call him Bruce.
I wouldn't just. Any coach I've ever known, just, hey, Coach, how you doing?
Okay, new coach to the league, Jerry Stackhouse. You call him Jerry, you call him Coach Stackhouse.
I call him Coach Stackhouse.
Yeah, I call him Jerry. I mean, I don't.
Why? I mean, like, have you met him before? Or you hang out with Jerry Stackhouse as your buddy?
No,
he's Coach. Like, say we were sitting here, I'm sure probably at some point, hopefully we'll get him to come on with us. But
who, Jerry Stackhouse?
Yeah, I call him, and when he said hello, I'd say, hey, Coach. Bear from Fox Sports in Knoxville.
Do you want Jerry Stackhouse on? I'll get him on for you.
I don't know. I don't know what we'd talk about.
What about like the president? All right, if Trump walked in here, we're not going to call him Trump.
I'm going to call him
no,
Donald.
You call him you
Mr.
Prefer,
president.
Yeah, Mr. President. It's not about the man. You respect the office.
Mr. President.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr. President.
So if I
regardless of how you feel about
it. If I were like, whoa, it's the Donald. What about former presidents?
He might be like,
no. If George W. Bush came in here, is he still Mr. President?
He's yes. W. They still refer. They still.
You know he's on the ranch. Hey, W.
I'm calling him George. Georgie boy!
What was that video where he's getting asked a serious question? He goes, I don't know about all that. Watch me hit this golf ball 300 yards. I like W. He's funny. Nuclear.
I thought he was funny, too. I did.
Until, you know.
Uh-oh. Bear's about to say something controversial.
So Cheney got involved? Is that where you're going with that?
No.
Okay, also that movie, I know we're waiting for Coach Brown to come on with this, but that movie, too, I watched Vice. I've tried to watch it twice now. It's very difficult to get through. I finally got through it the second time with, you know what I'm talking about, with Christian Bale as Dick Cheney.
Oh, maybe yeah.
It was very tough.
I didn't want to see that. I didn't want to see the
I don't want to see how the sausage
Oliver Stone,
made.
George
the character
Bush.
Changes, though, were what was neat. Steve Carell, Bryan Cranston, Christian Bale, Amy Adams. I think it was neat how they did that. But to me, it was a long, drawn-out. It was a 2.5-hour movie.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just one of those things. And I love like just about anything Christian Bale will be in. But go ahead and call him. This is like the hardest guest we've ever had to get on the show.
I mean, he says he's ready now, so you can call him.
Oh, all right. Call Jason.
Yeah, call Jason.
I will be referring to him as Coach or Coach Brown.
And please ask him and tell him we're on the radio, live radio.
Yeah,
we don't have a dump button.
No F-bombs tonight, please. All right, so try to get him on.
There.
Don't forget, we got What You Talk About coming up here in about an hour. We'll be taking our fifth qualifier for What You Talk About Champions League here in about an hour. So be looking for your cue to call right after Parker has your top five at five coming up here in just a few moments. So stay tuned for that. All right, let's go now.
We have Coach Brett.
Further ado to the phone lines where we've got the former head coach at Independence Community College up in Kansas, Jason Brown from Last Chance U, joining us on the show. Coach Brown, how are you, sir?
I'm good, brother. Good. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing well down here in Knoxville. We're watching one of your former players, Emmett Gooden, next year. I want to ask you about him. But first, they told me, I have to remind you, Coach, we are on terrestrial radio here, which, trust me, much of a problem for us as it may be for you. But no F-bombs today. We had to get that disclaimer out there.
Do I have a reputation or something?
No, not at all. We have to You're say good. That to everybody we have on the show.
I'm a church-going citizen, brother.
We had a pastor on last week. We had to let that know, too. So you're good, Jason.
Coach, new season, the last chance you next week. You said, you know, I don't know how we go with the spoiler alerts here. We know that you're not there anymore. What are you up to right now?
Man, I'm hanging pictures, man. I bought a new home out here in L.A. Had it built from scratch. And, I'm handling that right now. I just closed escrow, man. We just moved in a couple weeks ago, so I'm just doing that. My damn dog here, Stogie, sitting here laying on my brand new couch. I gotta figure that situation out, and then I started another master's degree online. I'm gonna get another degree, and I'm just hanging out, man. I'm 25 years straight of playing and coaching, and first year off, so I don't know what to do. I'm just hanging out, figuring it out. Probably smoke a cigar here.
There you go.
And drink some whiskey shortly. But besides that, nothing. Just hanging out right now, figuring out what the next chapter, so to speak, will be.
Do you still have the pool, the inflatable hot tub deal?
No, I don't have a jacuzzi here. I left it back there. I sold it when I left, and I didn't want to. I was going to bring it, but I'm buying a new one here, so a newer, nicer one. I don't want nothing attached from my past to my present.
Starting new leaf, huh? Turning over new leaf.
Always look forward,
no
Coach.
No doubt. Yep.
All right, good stuff. Well,
It's like when you're a kid, man, you screw up and you mess up your underwear. You ain't gonna wash them and wear them again. You know, you got to buy some new ones. So that's what I tell my daughter anyway when she was young. So I said, hey,
that's
a new one. I'm starting over.
That's one way of putting it. Yeah. For sure. Coach, we love Last Chance U, man. We talk about this every summer, going back to the days down there at East Mississippi. You did it 2 years in a row. Obviously, that experience has been life-changing for you, just like as you kind of start over and reflect on the past 2 years. What are your thoughts on everything that happened to you in Independence?
I don't regret anything. I'm glad we brought him in. We accepted Greg Whiteley and his crew. I think they did a heck of a job with everything. They're great folks. We made history. I think we set the bar pretty high. I love the opportunity to help use that platform to help young people market themselves on a global scale, which we did. 17 coaches got jobs, Division One, Division Two, or otherwise. I mean, 101 kids went Division One, both a national record. 40 Power Five. I mean, highest GPA among football playing junior colleges in the country. I mean, I think we did a pretty good job. So it was all polarized on a national scale, and probably one of the most watched shows on Netflix, and it probably will be again. And it was an honor to have that happen. I mean, it's not every day you get that. So like Greg said, man, I was a unfiltered project, I guess, or person to film. The most he's ever had, in 30 years. The most unfiltered guy he's filmed, and that's probably the reason he chose me. But at the same time, we'll probably have 12 to 15 players get drafted in the next year and two years off these two shows, and that'll be probably hard to beat. I think we brought in amazing talent. We did a great job on building a culture there, and all good things must come to an end, brother, and it came to an end. And obviously, I can't go out quietly, so I had to make a grand exit, and that's just what happened, I guess. Not knowingly, but I guess it's just me and my luck.
Coach, when you – this is an interesting question, the way I wanted to ask this. We're in a town with Jeremy Pruitt in the University of Tennessee, and you're at Independence and trying to be able, a lot of these players that some of these big time universities get, they come through schools like you were at. What is that like trying to maintain? Okay, I'll use for instance. It seemed like you had a hard time getting it through Malik Henry's head of where he was at, what he needed to do if he wanted to get back to that big time Division I level. What is that like trying to tame the attitudes of certain players and make sure they're doing the right things where they get those next opportunities again to maybe go back and resurrect what they once lost?
There's a chapter in my book that's out now called Hate Me Now, Love Me Later, and it's doing pretty good on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But in that book, it states, you know, you have to have the it factor. Well, I think coaches and players alike have to have it, the great one. And, you got to be able to balance those two things. I mean, can you get the kid where he couldn't get himself, number one? That's the definition of a coach. So could you get that done? We had 40 of them sign off the show's year, which is a record. That was that part of it. We got that accomplished. The second part is, can you cuss a kid out and he knows you still love him and has his best interest at heart? Can you convey that to that kid? And will he believe you, or will he just go through the process because he wants to get a scholarship and use you like you use him? And that's the difference. And that's why I was always a player's coach growing up. When you get to be the head coach, though, that role kind of changes, because you can't be who you were as a coordinator or as an assistant, because those guys have to be, you're the end-all, be-all. So when they know they screwed up, they got to come in your office and risk being cut by you or reprimanded or what have you. So, you know, the player's coach thing kind of ends like it did as a coordinator. So the game changes a little bit, but then you have to hire a great assistant to be able to manage those guys. And, when you have too many Chiefs and not enough Indians, man, I think you've lost it. And so that's why it's a fine balance, and it's a tough balance, but you got to have the it factor. And I think managing those egos, man, I mean, we're the most egotistical humans on earth. It's football coaches, I'm just going to be honest, and players alike. So, you know, having Emmett Gooden and Rakeem Boyd and Malik Henry and, you know, those type of guys, you got to have the it factor, man. And to get those guys graduated and now competing, to starting at places, and I believe they'll all be drafted next year. This year's team, we have Jermaine Johnson, Coy Dang, the number one and two ranked players in all the country. You know, one goes to Georgia, one goes to Cal. We're the first JUCO to send two kids, one to Cal Berkeley, one to Vanderbilt. Junior colleges don't take kids at those places. Junior college kids don't go to those places. And we were fortunate enough to get that out. We had to have a pretty high academic standard. I mean, and I didn't accept anything less than sitting in the front, handling your business, playing the game, which is also another chapter I talk about in the book. You know, those type of things. The kids learned the game. They played it. They graduated at the highest rate in the country. And that's all. That's what makes me sleep at night. Not wins and losses in junior college. You know, we have these kids 18 months, man. Not 5 years like Nick Saban and Jeremy Pruitt. So, you know, I talk to Jeremy all the time about Emmett and how those things are. And, you know, those coaches call me to this day and thank me and tell me how my kids sit in the front. They attack work daily. They're up at 5 in the morning. Where other kids from other junior colleges, not to name any, can't even make it through a practice or make it through school. I mean, my kids know how to go to class. My kids don't get arrested, and they don't get kicked out of the four-year school when they leave me. You can say what you want about me, but the truth hurts. And, you know, we're in a results-oriented business, man. My kids graduate. They know how to attack the real world, because they're going to get hit in the face in 18 months anyway, and have to work at hopefully not McDonald's or something. So hopefully get the dang degrees and know how to be productive citizen in the community. And that's what we preach for ever since I've been coaching. And that's just what the it factor kind of entails. And those kids believe it, and they run through a wall for you.
Hey, we're talking with Jason Brown, his new book, Hate Me Now, Love Me Later, available right now on Amazon. It's a number one new release. And, of course, the new season of Last Chance U premieres a week from today on Netflix. And, Coach, you mentioned you talked to Jeremy Pruitt about Emmett Gooden, who was one of the stars of last year's season, one of your players, a defensive lineman, played sparingly for Tennessee last year. This year they're counting on him to be the anchor of the defensive line for UT. When you talk to Coach Pruitt, what does he tell you about Emmett Gooden and his progress here in Knoxville?
The first year he was a track star, he told me, because he made him run so dang much. When I said that makes about right, that's about right. And great-hearted kid now. Emmett is a great-hearted human being. He's got no malintent in his blood. His mother did a heck of a job with him. You know, he lacks some work ethic at times, and he got to get in his butt now. And I think he's accepted that. And this spring and so forth, I was told he did a great job. He worked hard. He got lean. He's already fast twitch as heck for a big kid. So, you know, he handles his business, man. He'll be a draft pick. I mean, as simple as that. You can't teach that size for that with that quickness. So he said that he matured quite a bit, and that's the number one thing he needed to do, and he matured, and now sky's the limit for him.
Coach, when you look at defensive coordinators or offensive coordinators coming in and taking over big time head coaching jobs around the country, and I'm sure you talk to a lot of coaches, so you could probably speak to this. What's the biggest concern that you have for? Okay, we'll stay on Jeremy Pruitt. Jeremy Pruitt coming in, he's been a defensive coordinator everywhere. Now he's coming to take over a big time university. What are the big factors in coming in and being able to run your own program? And you're also missing trying to hire the best assistant coaches you know that will actually take a little bit of the load off you.
Man, it's a gut instinct. I've always hired guys with my gut. I've always fired guys with my gut. And that's just, again, that it factor. You got to have it, and the great ones do. And I think Coach Pruitt's done a great job, and he's going to continue to do so. Every athletic director has their so-called am I going to go offensive-minded or am I going to go defensive-minded? Well, number one-minded is he better be able to recruit. I don't care who it is, and he better be able to relate with those guys, and those guys better be able to run through a wall for him. So it doesn't matter if he's the dang equipment manager. I don't believe offensive or defensive coach is always the right pick. It's the best coach at that time, and it could be anybody. And I don't know if athletic directors do enough turning over rocks, so to speak, in finding the right candidates. And I just think that you have to be well-rounded, man. And number one is, can you recruit and can you get those kids to play hard for you every single day and not coach effort? And, you know, we don't want to coach effort. We want to coach fundamentals and teach some life skills, but we don't want to coach effort. If you can't work hard and play hard, then you shouldn't be playing football, and that's just what it is. And I just think maybe this generation has become a little soft for me, and maybe that's why I'm going to take the year off and reevaluate myself. But it depends on, it's just a fine balance, man. You got to have it all, and I think coordinators that never had any head coaching experience, they come in and they don't know the logistics of paperwork and administratively speaking, it's a lot to it, man, and you be careful what you ask for when you want that job, because the pay's good and all that stuff, but your butt will have a Century 21 sign in the front yard very quickly if you don't figure it out. So it's turning over rocks, man, because we live in a results oriented business, and the last I heard, you judge by wins and losses and graduated rate and those type of things. And And I don't believe it matters who you are, but you got to have that it factor. And I just think we miss a lot of coaching hires with ADs that want to hire the big splash or the commercial, the commercially recognized guy. And I just think those guys falter quick.
Coach, lots of reality TV is dramatized. It's not really that representative of reality. You watch, like, these shows, The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, it's got, the villain and the good guy and the sweetheart. Right. Everybody's got their role to play, and they play it up for the show. How real is Last Chance U?
You guys think I'm real or fake?
I think it
I think it's real.
I think it is. I think it's real.
I think it's real. I think my guess is the showrunners also, they find like the most eccentric parts of your personality, the wildest things you do, and really focus on that for the episodes.
Yeah.
No, I think you misunderstood what I said. You think that I am real or fake?
I'm not going to sit here and call you fake. You're real.
I think you're real. Yeah, I think you're real.
Well, I'm not ever going to fake on that show, man. So they filmed me because they knew that I was going to tell them exactly whatever was on my dang mind. And obviously, it's either got me some haters or it's got me some people that like me. So, I mean, it is what it is. I didn't ask to be a public figure. It happened overnight, seemingly. But at the end of the day, you know, everything they film is really what happens, and it's live, it's real time, and they film me for 3,000 hours. They break it down into 9 hours on film, and they got to pick what they think sells viewerships, and so it's all 100% real. There's no, put it this way, when I did the deal, I found out the truth of, and there's a huge difference between reality and documentary. Reality is scripted. You have an agent, you read a script, and you go through those things. Documentary, there's no script, there's no paper. They film you, whether you're taking a pee in the bathroom or brushing your teeth, or you're cussing a kid out, or you're hugging a kid and he's crying about he lost his sister in front of you. And that's just what it is in junior college, and that's why it is the most rewarding level to coach at, I believe, in all of football and all of sports. So it's 100% real, and what you see is what you get, and I guess I wasn't for everybody, and I'm for some people, but not for everybody. And that's just, I think, you know, when you're a public figure, everybody's easily judged, and unfortunately, you're going to have to take the good and the bad.
Coach, last thing for you, we'll let you run here. Is, you know, you're involved in a number of altercations in the last season. I'm sure this season as well. I saw the trailer yesterday, both physical, verbal, what have you. Are there any moments, flashpoint moments in your 2 years on Last Chance U that you look – I mean, no, you said you had no regrets. Are there anything that you look back on and be like, oh, man, I wish I'd handled that one differently?
I would say no, because if I wasn't on a show, nobody would care. So nobody would even know or ask me or anything. The regrets I have is, as a public figure, there's regrets, because now you can't text anyone anything, because football used to be an intimate setting. The locker room of a football program was the most intimate facility in sports. And now it's become a platform to tweet and show your girl and show your buddies that you're wearing a uniform and that this coach is crazy and he's on a Netflix show. So let me film him and let me try to get 15 minutes of fame myself, and let me get 100 followers to follow me today because Coach Brown cussed me out and I filmed it. And that's what I had to deal with the last year, man. And it just became daunting, to be honest. And it probably wasn't for me, man, because at the end of the day, I still was just a regular guy, a real guy that they filmed doing what I love to do, which was help mentor young boys and turning them into men and getting them graduated and get them scholarships. And if I have to cuss you out to do so, then that's what coaching is. It's getting you where you couldn't get yourself. And, regardless if his high school coach didn't get him there or he didn't go to school or what have you, that's now my job. And that's why I accepted it. And I love doing it. And I go get the best players that are broken. Don't make no mistake about it. They're broken. And that's what I do better than anybody in the country. I fix them. And I've never had a mother bash me on Twitter. I've never had a player bash me on Twitter. So the only people that have bashed me on Twitter are people that have never contacted or seen me in person, talked to me, shook my hand, or know anything about what we do. The mothers call me and say, Coach, put your foot deeper in him. And, the kids never, you've never seen a kid bash me except for a kid that I've cut because he was smoking weed or stealing at Walmart. And Coach is unfair. And, yeah, I'm unfair because you stole at Walmart. So that's just what it is, man. And if I'm hated for that, then so be it. But I would love to come film you for 8 hours a day at your job just pick you. You know what I mean? That's what these people do. The people that do these things and say these things, to be honest, are the guys that are pouring my coffee at Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru. I mean, that's the ones that are doing it. So it is what it is, man.
All right,
Jason
Coach,
Brown.
We appreciate your time, man. Again, go check out the book, Hate Me Now, Love Me Later, number one new release on Amazon. And Last Chance U, new season debuts 1 week from today. Coach, appreciate your time, man.
Good luck to you.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Good luck.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Take care.
Coach Jason Brown.
We got a lot to break down in the next hour.
Making his presence felt this afternoon on the show.
Pouring your coffee at Dunkin' Donuts.
He got sideways with him, did you?
Me?
When he's asking you if you thought he was fake or real.
He went, No. Let me re-answer the question.
No, he said I misunderstood him. He misunderstood me. I was asking if he felt the show was real. I have no doubt that he's not putting on for the cameras.
He didn't think that at first.
But I think that the cameras, the show folks, when they're going through the hundreds of hours of footage that they have, they're looking for Coach Brown's most confrontational, most controversial moments.
I agree with that.
And they do it with the kids, too.
But I think it's all like that. Like, that's the thing. Like, I think probably the only downtime they got was probably when he was at his house.
They do a really good job of building those episodes to where it's building up to the games.
Yeah.
And the tension is building. And then, the last 15 minutes of an hour-long episode is a game.
Go back and watch last season, season 5. I mean, episode 5. You go back and watch that episode of last season, you'll understand completely what we're talking about when Russ is saying build up to the game and then fireworks. He's not shy, man. He says what he has to say, and he's got a lot of stuff he's about to have to deal with legally. But I'll give it to him. I think it's real. He doesn't come off as fake.
He's over the top. There's nothing fake about him. I do think there's several, if he wants to continue to progress as a coach, there are a lot of things that, about his personality that he's going to have to adjust.
Exactly.
At some point. I will say this, though. I think this lawsuit he's involved in, and this is what he was talking about at the end about how you can't text anybody. I think that lawsuit's BS, man. I think it's total BS. And people are just like, you use the word Hitler, and now all of a sudden it's become this thing where people can pile on and be like, oh, look.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even – so, I wouldn't put it in the top three of craziest things, quotes that I've seen attributed to him.
Something he probably said, not in that form, for the last 8 to 10 years he was there, but he went on the show and got caught doing it because it was on the show. Now, look, legally, he has got a crap load of problems he's going to have to deal with forging those documents, allegedly. But
I thought the lawsuit was about the Hitler thing.
Oh, no.
That's why he got fired.
He allegedly forged documents from Johnny Cochran's law firm. But the firing thing, yes. Yes, that's why he had to resign. It was because of the Hitler text. Then the new stuff came out. I mean, look.
All right, well, stay with us.
Do you think it's real or not,
us? We got to take a quick break. It's real. It's real. Stay with us. Hour number three, we got Parker in with the top five at five. What you talk about coming up as well. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.